Well, greetings, everyone, and happy Sabbath to you all. I'm extremely grateful to Charles Gross and Mr. Van Stinson for giving my wife and I this opportunity to come and serve you today. I'm also very honored to be in your presence here today. We are living in the last days. Jesus Christ's return is imminent. We know that he is returning soon. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 says, "Behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me." The title of today's sermon is Our Reward is Waiting. Jesus Christ has promised that he is returning to this earth and that he is bringing for us our reward. The question is, who will receive this reward at his return? What is Jesus Christ looking for in you and I? What type of conduct must we have? Turn with me to 1 Peter. First Peter, chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" Jesus Christ has lived a very great example for us to follow. In this last days, in this day and age when we have so much evil surrounding us, it's even more evil for our children. My wife and I, we don't have any children at this time, but we hope to have some in the future. But right now, the future doesn't look too bright for the youth. At first, I thought it was just in this nation. But we have been traveling abroad, going throughout the world, and I see that the future does not look too bright. What I mean by that is we are called to live holy and righteous lives unto God. But the attack today is on the youth, far much so than it was when I was a child, or for those of you who are a little bit older to me, the attack is more on the youth today than it was on us. When you talk to people who have children who are attending schools and you see what is happening, just in Houston we are going through Hurricane Katrina and Rita, and every day the Louisiana kids, Houston kids, are fighting. They can't come to school to learn because they're worried about if they're going to have to fight at lunch or if they're going to have to fight on after school. How are we going to have children that can be productive? How are we going to have children that can look forward to God's grace and the beautiful gifts that are in store for us if they're having trouble in their places of learning. That's just a little bit of it. I can go into deeper, but it's important for you and I today to understand that we are called to be holy. We are called to live in a certain manner and have conduct our lives in light that is fitting for our leader, Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 John. First John chapter 3, verse 3. And I just wanted to make a note of it. I'm reading out of the New International Version. So if you are looking at a different version, it may read a little bit differently. But for my speech and my understanding, this makes it perfectly clear. I'd like to use this so that each and everyone who is here can understand what is in store for us. Verse 3 says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Again, we're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about really examining our lives. I tried to do this on a day-to-day basis. At first, I wanted to do it on a week-to-week basis, but I saw the need to do it daily. In my daily meditation, in my daily prayer, when I'm talking to God, I'm asking him to show me as I am so that I can make the necessary changes that will be acceptable before God. That is something that we can all put in our day-to-day lives. As the scripture says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And I want to go back to 1 Peter and read some more where we left off. First Peter, we're still in the first chapter. But I want to drop down to verse 22 and begin reading there. It says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. And at this time, I just want to thank you for the warm welcome that everyone has given my wife and I. It really helps out in our service, and it really makes things easy to come and sing and to talk to you, and to give you the things that God has given us to share with one another. I do feel the sincere love each time we've came here. We do feel a very sincere love and outgoing concern that should be noted. Verse 23 says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. I'm just going on because chapter 2, it goes into chapter 2, but I still want to keep reading. It says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, we've had two beautiful songs, two beautiful expressions. And we do, obviously, understand that the Lord is good. We understand that if we follow his ways that he has set forth, his laws, his statutes, and his precepts, that there will be great reward for those who overcome and endure to the end. In chapter, in verse 2, it says, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk. In other words, we are to crave spiritual instruction, so that by it we may grow in salvation. Rid yourselves of all malice, of all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and every kind of slander. This is why it's so important to do that daily examination of your lives, so that we can get on our knees and that we can talk to the Creator and we can ask him to guide us, to give us that instruction that we need to face what lies ahead. The world around us is very evil, and the world is very unforgiving. A man asked us for prayer for his wife, Sabbath troubles. That is something that we're going to see even more in these last days. The world is not concerned about you or me and our beliefs. It's not important to them. Jesus Christ is not the most important thing to the world. But to you and I, he should be, and I believe that he is. And the more that we stand out and people see our lives as examples, the more they're going to attack us. Just as they are attacking our children in school, they're going to attack each and every one of us. They want to get us to stray. There's no absolute in this world now. They want tolerance. You can't say the Lord's Prayer. You can't say the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. You know my mind is going, but there is a movement to remove God from everything. If you watch television, you'll see that they have these little shows, and they're trying to say that Jesus Christ was nothing important. He's just another person. I've even heard reports that Jesus Christ was married and he has children. It's just unreal. It's all types of deception, deceit, all that's been placed in front of you and I to keep us from following Christ. But we're stronger than that. And we are going to focus on our reward that Jesus Christ is bringing. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, beginning in verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Again, we are to be seeking God on a daily basis. We are called to be holy as Christ is holy, to purify ourselves, to seek spiritual instruction and to fear Almighty God. We are to live our lives to please God. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. God did not call us to be impure, but he called us to live holy lives. Verse 11 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Go over to Ephesians 4. Beginning in verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. We're given instruction here. And these instructions that we're receiving are becoming clearer and clearer as we contrast them with the conduct that we encounter each day in the world. God has called us to be different. He's called us to be holy. He's called us to be patient. He's called us to be long-suffering. He's called us to bear one another in love. Something that we don't often see from the world. But it's important for you and for me. Verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, They have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. And this is a very tough one, especially as we encounter the world at work or in the marketplace, wherever. Even now in this season, people are in a hurry. If you go shopping, I don't know how it is here, but I know how it is in Houston. If you go shopping, you better be aware of your surroundings. People are trying at every corner to take advantage of you, to catch you when you're weak. And yet, when these things happen to you and to me, we must remain self-controlled and not sin. I tell you today that the scripture says to be angry, but do not sin. Don't allow anyone to take that from you. People have no regard for you. And it's important that you lay focus on the reward. At times like this, when I'm questioned or being pushed, and people don't know when to stop, they just push and push, trying to push your buttons, trying to make you curse them. I think about the reward that is waiting me. And God sends thoughts through my mind. It's not worth it. We can gain self-control. We can set the example. We can walk away, and we can show them, the world, that we are different. We are called to a higher calling, and there is reward for this behavior. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. That's what we just went through. Giving the devil a foothold, allowing somebody to take away your reward, to get you off your focus, to take you off track. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. As Charles gave us this announcement about doing more and helping out those who have the same beliefs in Jesus Christ as we are. We're giving to those. We're sharing. And as he pointed out, we have traveled to many foreign nations. My wife and I, during the feast, on vacations. And it is very sad to see that America is a truly rich nation. The rest of the world is not so rich. Things that we take for granted, running water, clothes, the ability to rebuild after storms and hurricanes. It sets these other countries back 20, 30, sometimes even longer, years. And so we can share something with those in need. Not just our beautiful smiles and our righteous behavior, but things that we have no longer use for that someone else can use. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Pay attention to this. This is tough as well. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. People don't always want to listen. But we must be patient with them. But God is showing us great love and mercy and grace. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Chapter 5. Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. They're not fit for us. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. We have to be careful in our dealings with people that are displaying this type of character when we meet them out and about. They must see that light that's shining through us from God, and it must work on them as God has worked on us. But we don't want to have a lot of dealings with them. We wouldn't want to take them into our day-to-day lives and, be friends with them on a regular basis. We want to give them an example, but don't mix and mingle with them. Because that disobedience often will rub off. And you will find yourself in that daily meditation asking God to put you back on the path. It's not helpful to be involved with it. So just avoid it if all possible. Verse 15 says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And we went over that, and we covered the evil that we are facing. I want you to understand that living holy acceptable lives to God leads you to your reward. As we near the end, turn over to John chapter 14. Beginning in verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus Christ has given his life for us. He has suffered. He took a tremendous beating. He took that beating for you and for me. He asked only that we live holy lives while we wait for our reward. He has purchased us with his very own blood, his very precious blood. He spent his whole life preparing for our future. It's time we prepare for his glorious return. Psalm 9, verse 6 states, "The Lord is known by the judgment he executes." How will you be known to God? Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 6. Breaking into the text, it says, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints." I want you to focus on something in verse 7. "For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." Brethren, we are that precious bride. We must prepare for the return of Jesus Christ. We must get rid of all of these evil things that we have went over today. The malice, the anger, the slander, the letting sin reign in your bodies. We must change. Prince Charles has been waiting all his life, all of my life. I've only known of the Queen Elizabeth. I've never heard of the King in my lifetime. He's been waiting for an opportunity to sit on the throne. He's had to live a certain life. He's had to live in the light of the world. You and I have a much better reward. We have a much greater throne that will be given to us. We have names and titles that are awaiting. And Jesus Christ is bringing them with his return. Turn to Revelation 21. Beginning in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." This is a saint's reward, much greater than the throne that Prince Charles is awaiting to sit on. We have been called from the Heavenly Father, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The only thing that we can be sure of is his words. I cannot make anything come true. None of you can. But Jesus Christ is going to return, and he is bringing with him a very beautiful and precious reward for those who overcome. Brethren, the message is clear. We are that beautiful bride that Jesus Christ is returning for. The bride must make herself ready. We must live holy lives unto God. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Let us make the necessary changes in our lives as we prepare for the King who is coming.